Welcome to the Rock Church Podcast. This is Amanda. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are a church family that exists to love God, love people, and do something about it. If you'd like to learn more about us, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to your app store and search RockC3 for our app. This week, Pastor Josh Finkley wraps up our series called Think Different by explaining that the way we will follow the rules of the realm and live righteously is by thinking different and acting different. Enjoy the message.
Well, good morning, church. How's everybody doing? You guys good? Good to see you guys. I'm glad you're with us today and hope you're enjoying worship so far and just being able to be here and be in the presence of God. So I want to give a shout out to everybody watching online. We all welcome them with me. Glad that you guys are online with us. Wherever you might be from, wherever you're tuning in from, we appreciate you. And maybe you're new with us. If you're new with us, thank you for being here today. I know it's a big deal to go to church, like for the first time ever, maybe to step into a building that you're not used to. So thank you for doing that, all right? Thank you for taking that step. Definitely invite you, if you're on campus, stop by a Connect Corner. If you're online, then just talk to your host there. And I got to warn you, today is one of those times that you might not see it coming and you get kicked in the face. Okay? Just, like, I'm just warning. Anybody watch UFC last night or at least see the highlight from UFC? Nobody? Come on. Guys, it's okay to admit you watch UFC. The best UFC knockout ever in the history was last night, okay? And what happened is the guy thought that he had control and he didn't. You'll have to go Google it or Google it right now. I don't care. You're fine too, okay? But anyway, so that's what this message is going to be like. We're going to kind of dive into God's word. And if you're not careful, next thing you know, God's word is just going to hit you upside the head, which is actually a good thing. And that's what this whole series is about, is it's trying to get knocked upside our head. It's trying to think different. And we launched it last week. This week is part two. It's the end of the series. It's just a quick two-weeker. If anything, probably I could say it this way. It's really just one sermon. Like last week I started it. This week I'm completing it. But it's just really one long sermon that is broken up into two parts. And so let me catch you up to speed. If you weren't with us last weekend, let me help you understand that we talked about this idea that we need to start thinking different. That too many times we think through the wrong lens, we think through the wrong ideas. And for instance, when you think politics, we're in a political world right now with the elections coming next month. That if we're not careful, we'll look at everything red or we'll look at everything blue. And what I said is, let's not look at things red. Let's not look blue. Let's not look any other color except the color purple, because purple represents the color of a king. And we talked about how Jesus is king, that he has a reign, that he has a rule, and that we are part of his realm. And as citizens, then we should want to follow him as our king. We looked at this scripture, and I really just taught on the first part of it, and that is seek the kingdom of God above all else. And I said, if we'll just seek his kingdom, that if we'll just seek him as king and his kingdom, that if we'll become citizens of heaven. And when I said be citizens of heaven, I used an illustration last week of the oath that you have to take to become a U.S. citizen. I don't know if you'd ever seen the oath before. I hadn't until last week when I was doing my final prep for this message. Here's what the oath says. So if you were to become a citizen of America, you would have to recite this oath, which says, I hereby declare on oath that I absolutely and entirely renounce and abjure all allegiance and fidelity to any foreign prince, potentate, state, or sovereignty of whom which I have heretofore been a subject or a citizen. Now, when I say that, you might hear a bunch of big words. Let me just put it real simple. I renounce all allegiance to any foreign prince. And what I really mentioned last week is we have to renounce any allegiance we've had to a foreign god, to a foreign ideology, to foreign things, and we've got to announce our allegiance to the king. and then to living in his kingdom. And now, today, we're going to go a step further with that, and we're going to talk about this idea of living right. That if we're going to seek him as our king, then we got to live right, which is really interesting because even in America, we hold those same thoughts as well. And here's what I mean by that. That if you're going to become a citizen of America, you have to say that I'm going to become a good citizen. And what America says to be a good citizen is you got to follow the rules of the realm. Or if I could say it this way, the rules of the land. See, part of that oath that you'd have to take, the next part reads this, that I will support and defend the Constitution and laws of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic. That basically, I'm going to support the laws of the land. And then it says this, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same. Meaning, if I'm as a citizen of America, if I'm going to be a citizen of America, then I'm going to follow the laws of the land. Or if I could say it this way, I'm going to follow the rules of the realm. And when it comes to our Christian walk, that is what God asks of us. If we're going to live righteously, if we're going to live right, then what we're doing is we're giving allegiance to the king, and then we're simply doing what he says. The problem is oftentimes we see what he says, and we change what he meant. Can I say that again? That we see what he says, but then we change what he meant. And the reason we change what he meant is because we're looking with the wrong glasses on. Curious, anybody remember the movie National Treasure with Nicolas Cage? Go ahead, raise your hand if you're there. All right, cool, great. Then you'll get it. Because there was this scene in the movie where Nicolas Cage had to put on some glasses. And if you didn't see it, what it was is he had stolen the Declaration of Independence. And then he was trying to read it, but he wanted to find a hidden message, so he put on some different spectacles. And with these spectacles, they had different color lenses. And when he looked through a red lens, he was like, oh, now I see something different. And then he got rid of the red lens, and he put on a blue lens. And when he put on the blue lens, he's like, oh, now I see the image. And my fear is this is what we do with God's word. That we put God's word in front of us, and we start reading through a blue lens, and we'll say, well, this is what the Bible really means. Or we'll look through a red lens, and we'll be like, well, this is what the Bible really means. But what God asks us to do is not look through a red lens or a blue lens, but he asks us to look through a purple lens. Because when we look through a purple lens, what we're doing is we're saying, what is the king's message? That's it. When I look at God's word through a purple lens, I'm saying, what is the king telling me to do? And when I recognize what the king tells me to do, then what he's telling me to do is think different. Because if I think different, then maybe I'll act different and maybe I'll live different. And that's the challenge of today. Is what would it be like if we put on some purple lenses? And we started reading his word with his intent. What would Romans 12 look like? Romans 12 is a message that Paul was given to the church. And when Paul was given this message to the church, he was saying, guys, I want you to think different. And I want you to act different. Because I want you to be different. Romans 12 reads like this. It says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let me just stop right there. But he's saying, listen, do you understand the grace of God? Do you understand that Jesus came to this world, died on the cross, went to the grave, rose from the dead, and then offers us forgiveness? That he says, no matter what you've done in your life, no matter what your past is, he says, I will forgive you and you can become part of my kingdom. Then you can become a citizen of heaven. That what Paul is saying is in view of all that he has done. Well, think about all that he has done. Then he says this, because all he has done for you, let them be a living and holy sacrifice. The kind he will find acceptable. He basically says this, because of everything God has done in your life, then I want you to offer your bodies. I want you to think about your life differently. And I want you to offer your body to God. Offer your body to God as a living sacrifice. Not a dead sacrifice, not a sacrifice that you go to the altar one time and you lay your life out there and you say, here I am, I'm giving my life over to you, God. No, Paul doesn't say to do that. Paul says as a daily, as a living sacrifice, offer your body to God. And the people hearing this, they would have understood that because they grew up in a sacrificial system. They grew up at a time where for you to be made right with God, you would have to go to the temple and you would have to kill an animal and its blood would be poured out so that you could receive forgiveness or so that you could worship God. And fortunately, that day was done because of what Jesus did on the cross. But what Paul was saying now is, now you don't need to go to the temple anymore. Now you don't have to go do that. But what I want to invite you to do is every day offer your body to God. As a living and holy, as a living and right living sacrifice to God, as a living and one who has been set apart for God, offer your body to Him. That's what God is calling us to do. And then it says this, this is truly the way to worship Him. I'm curious, how many of you all enjoy worshiping? Just curious. You know what I mean? It's what we do. It's why we gather, right? And when we gather, there's something special that happens in this worship environment. That I love it, all right? And I miss it when we can't do that. And I love how when we get together, it's the bride of Christ meeting the groom, and just something spiritual and something special happens in the moment. But if the only time you worship God is on Sundays at 10 a.m., now you're missing out. If the only time that you say, well, now that's my act of worship, I came and I gave God an hour, then you're missing out on what worship really is. And even if you say, well, I worship at 10, but I served at the 8:30, or I'm serving at the 11:30, so I'm actually giving God 2 hours. You know what I'm saying? Like that doesn't work either. Because Paul didn't say that you worship God by giving Him an hour of a sacrifice. What God wants is 24 hours a day. God wants 168 a week. That means every hour of your life, God says, live that as a living sacrifice to me. Give that to me. Offer that up to me. Give me every hour, every minute, every second, every moment. Live your life as an offering to me, not once on an altar, but every moment on His altar. Well, how do we do that? You're going to have to change your thinking is how we do it. See, the very next part of the verse tells us how. It says, change your thinking. It says, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world. Let's go ahead and admit it. How many of you are bad at copying the behaviors of others? Anybody? Anybody want to admit it? Right? Like we all do it. Some of us do it in the way we dress. Like chances are there's some of you have done this. You've seen somebody wearing something, and you're like, why are they wearing that? You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Like you saw somebody wearing Crocs one day, you're like, what in the world is that on their feet? You saw somebody wearing bell bottoms recently, you're like, what? You saw one of those ladies wearing one of them hats now, like you ladies all wear, okay? And you might have saw it the first time and said, what are they doing? And next thing you know, 30 days later or 60 days later, you're wearing the very same things. True? Any of you with me? Oh, I haven't got you yet. How about this? How many of you copy the way others talk? Yeah, we do that. You say what others say. You sound like others sound. Hey, just in case you didn't know this, I haven't always talked like this. Some people say I sound a little southern now, okay? I'm from the Midwest. I haven't always talked like this. You all are the reason I talk the way I do. All right? I'm blaming you guys. Catch myself now saying, hey, how's your mama? You know what I mean? Like, I've never called my mom my mama in my entire life. Because from Indiana, we call her mom. We don't call her mama. You know what I mean? I'll say, how's your daddy? Never said that before. I copy your behaviors. I copy your patterns. Although, I'm just letting you know, I will never mash a button, nor will I carry anybody to Walmart's. Okay? There is a limit. But if we're not careful, we will copy the behaviors and the customs of this world, or I could say of this culture, or I could say of a political party, or I could say of what the internet's telling me to do. Like, we'll copy the behaviors of our social media feeds and our news feeds. I don't know if you realize this. Some of you have seen the new Netflix show, The Social Dilemma. It talks a lot about algorithms and about how when you search for one thing, all of a sudden that social media network, that news feed, is going to understand that's what you're looking for, and they're going to just keep feeding you things and say, well, no, you need to think about this, and you need to think about that. I did a little experiment yesterday because I just wondered. In the morning, I got up, and I just put the word exercise bike into my feed. One time, searched it one time, and then quit. Because I wanted to see what would happen. All day long, on every social media feed I'd get on, every news feed I'd get on, I'd see exercise bikes and treadmills. Because there's an algorithm trying to feed you what to think. But God says, transform. Don't copy the behavior and customs of what the others are telling you to think, what the world is telling you to think. And we do this with our political systems as well. That in our political system, our political platform will tell you, this is how you're supposed to think. That if you look through a blue lens, then this is how you're supposed to think. And if you look through a red lens, then this is how you're supposed to think. And rather than thinking for ourselves, rather than thinking through a purple lens, we'll think through a blue lens or we'll think through a red lens. Let me show it to you. Four statements. Four statements: racial justice, the marginalized, the right to life, and a traditional view of sex. Just four statements. But when you look at these four statements, what they are is they are majors in different political platforms. Like, for instance, in the Democratic platform, this is some majors, that they're going to major in those things. On the Republican platform, if you think red, then these are some majors, right? That if racial justice and marginalized is on a Democratic platform as big deals. That the right to life and traditional view of sex are big deals in the Republican platform. And what'll happen is, if you're not careful, you'll get bought in to thinking in a political way. And you'll put a red filter on or a blue filter on, and you'll look at these things solely through that filter. For instance, if you have a blue lens on, all right, and I'm not saying this is you, but I'm saying this could happen. That if I stand on this stage and I preach about racial justice, I preach about racial reconciliation, if you have a blue lens on, you might say, well, excuse me, if you have a red lens on, you might say, well, Josh is he's a liberal. Because if I'm preaching about racial justice and you have that red lens on, you might say that. I'm not saying you will, I'm saying you might. Same thing is if I talk about the right to life. If I talk about how a baby inside a womb is matters to God and that baby needs to live, then if you have a blue lens on, and you hear me saying that, you'll be like, well, Josh is just a conservative. Do you see what I'm getting at? Like, if we're not careful, we'll allow a red lens or a blue lens to make us look at issues in this world, and we'll think of them through those lenses or even through other lenses. But guys, what we need to make sure we understand is these four things are not political thoughts. The political system did not come up with these four things. All four of these things, I want to make sure we understand, they are all purple thoughts. They are all from Jesus. Okay? Every one of them. Because Jesus cares about racial reconciliation and racial justice. That when he came into this earth, he said that there will every tongue, every tribe, every nation will be in heaven. That he looked at a Jewish culture and he looked at a Gentile world and he said, I got to figure out a way to help you guys realize that you both matter to me. I got to help you realize that you've got to get along because you're all going to be in heaven together if you choose to follow me. That Jesus is about racial reconciliation. That Jesus is about taking care of the marginalized. That Jesus said, if you hand out a cup of cold water in my name, then you've blessed somebody. He said, if you visited somebody, if you clothed somebody, if you fed somebody, then you've fed me. That Jesus is about taking care of the marginalized. That Jesus is about babies in the womb, out of the womb, up to the senior citizen who passes away. That Jesus values life. We have scriptures that say that even while you were in the womb, I knew you. I knew you. You see what I'm getting at? It's not a red issue. It's not a blue issue. It's a purple issue. The traditional view of sex. That God is the one who designed sex. God is the one who created it. And here's how he created it. To be enjoyed between a man and a woman inside the confines of marriage. And our culture will say something different. Our political systems will say something different. People will say something different. But what I want to do is I just want to listen to what Jesus had to say. Because what Jesus is saying is what is best for you. It's not red thinking. It's not blue thinking. It's purple thinking. And listen, when we start to change the way we think and we say, I'm not going to follow the pattern of social media. I'm not going to follow the pattern of culture. I'm not going to follow the pattern of my political view. What I'm going to do is I'm going to follow the pattern of Jesus. Then here's the beauty. Then you just might figure out the will of God. And this is what I hear all the time. People say, I want to know the will of God. For 30 years in ministry, I've had people telling me, I just want to know what God's will is. Well, you know what his will is? For you to change your thinking. Because when you change your thinking and start thinking as he does, then you'll know his will. Then the next part of that verse says that. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. It's good. The rules of the realm are good. The rules of the realm are pleasing, and they are perfect. And they won't just lead you to a better life. They will lead you to the best life. So change your thinking. I want to live right. Well, I got to think different. And if I think different, well, then I'll just simply act different. Because if my thinking is different, well, then my behaviors will be different. The way that I live will be different, and I might actually just start living different. And that's what Paul goes on to say. In the very next part of the verse that he's going to go on in chapter 12, verse 9 through 21. And I'm just going to read through this list, guys. It's a big list. But the beauty of the list is what he's saying is, if you live as a sacrifice and you think different, then these things are going to be seen in your life. Which means these things are going to be seen in your marriage. These things are going to be seen in your friendships. These things are going to be seen in your family. These things are going to be seen in the way you live. Well, what are they? Well, simply this. That if you think different, it's going to cause you to act different. When you act different, it means you're going to love different. Verse 9, don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Don't just pretend. Don't just give it lip service. Don't just say, oh, yeah, I love you, be blessed. Oh, yeah, I'm praying for you. No, really love them. You got to love different. You also have to hate different. I know that sounds weird when I say hate different, okay? But we have to hate different. Look at what the verse says. Hate what is wrong, but hold tightly to what is good. See, we get it wrong. We get it wrong in America. We get it wrong in our culture. We get it wrong in our lives because we think, well, I can just hate somebody. They don't have the same views as me. They don't think the same way I do. So I'm just going to hate them. Listen, the Bible gives us no room to hate somebody. There's no verse that you can pull to and say, look, I can hate somebody because of this. No, well, Jesus doesn't give us that option. What he does say is hate what is wrong. I don't hate a person, but I hate what is wrong. Guys, I hate racism because racism is wrong. I hate it. But I'm called to love the racist. I hate racism, but I'm not allowed to hate the race. That's hard to say. That's even harder to live out. But that's what we're supposed to do. I hate abortion. I love kids. The kids in the womb, the kids outside the womb, I love them. So I hate abortion. I'm not allowed to hate somebody who's had an abortion. I made a mistake. They sinned. I think in a crowd this big, people online, I know that there's somebody here that you're dealing with hate right now because of an abortion. Chances are, if you had an abortion, the hate that you're dealing with is that you're hating yourself. As I've talked to ladies in my time in ministry, that's what I find all the time is just a guilt, the anger, the hate because of a sin, a wrongdoing you did in your past. Listen, you can't hate yourself. What's the verse say? Hold tightly to what is good. And what is good? The grace of Jesus Christ. The grace of Jesus Christ is very, very good. Because the grace of Jesus Christ says no matter what sin we've committed, that God can forgive us and he can move us towards a better life. All right? That's what he does. So I can hate racism, but I can't hate the racist. I can hate abortion, but I can't hate somebody who's had an abortion. I hate abuse. I hate it. Can't hate the abuser. You feel what I feel right now. Because I get it. That's not what the world tells you. That's not what culture tells you. That's not what others tell you. You're like, no, if I've been abused, I can hate that person. Hate the abuse. Doesn't mean you have to be with the abuser. It means obviously you have to be safe. You have to do what you got to do distance-wise there, but you can't allow hate to win. You've got to hold tightly to what is good. I know this is tough, so let me go on to some easier things. Honor people. And that didn't get any easier. Honor different. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. And this one's a huge one for me, guys. I made a decision years ago that I'm going to do my very best to honor everyone in life. Because what I've found is this. When I sin, when I make a mistake, oftentimes it hurts me and it hurts my relationship with God. But when I dishonor somebody because I've sinned against them, I've dishonored them in some way, what I'm doing is hurting them. And I don't want to hurt them. So I want to do my very best in honoring everyone. Let's keep going. Work different. Never be lazy, but work hard. Do work and serve the Lord enthusiastically. That as Christ followers, if we're going to think different, if we're going to say I'm living my life as a daily sacrifice to God, then the work I do will be different. Because no longer will I go to a job. What I will do now is I will go as an act of worship to Jesus, which means I'm going to be different in the workforce. Christians should be the very best employees an employer ever has. Because we are representing the King. So I got to work different and I got to serve different. I serve different not because it's something I have to do. It's something I get to do because I get to serve the King. Let me keep going. Rejoice different. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. What that simply means is when tragedy comes, because I'm thinking different, when tragedy hits, I'm not going to go into a woe is me. I'm going to say, Lord, I'm going to hold on to my living hope in you. And I'm going to trust you to pull me through this, whether that's a cancer issue, whether that's a COVID issue, whether it's some other issue. I'm going to rejoice in a confident hope. I'm going to give different. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Always be eager to give to those who are in need. I'm going to talk different. Ooh, this one's going to get hard again. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Bless those, if I could change the word here, bless those who cuss you. Don't cuss them. Bless, if I could change it one more time, your in-laws. Your family, your coworker, the person who got the promotion, the person who got the starting position. Bless those who make fun of you. Bless those who yell at you. Bless those who cuss at you. Bless those who are thorns in your flesh. Don't curse them, but pray for them. Relate different. Be happy with those who are happy. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. And then lastly, respond different. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you're honorable. Look at this. Do all that you can to live at peace with everyone. Do all that you can to live at peace with everyone. The NIV, the way I memorized this verse when I was younger, is simply this. It would say this: as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. That I'm going to do my job to live at peace. I'm not going to seek revenge. Next part of the verse says this: dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For scriptures say, I will take revenge, I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame over their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Don't let evil conquer you. Don't let evil conquer you. Don't think like everybody else and say, well, I'm just going to return evil for evil. No, I'm going to think different. I'm going to live different. I'm going to follow the rules of the realm, and I'm going to be different because I'm going to follow the example of Jesus Christ. Because when you look at this list, this is Jesus. Jesus loved different. He loved different. He loved differently than anybody else. Jesus hated different. He never hated people, but he hated what was wrong in society back then. That Jesus honored different. That he lifted people up who had been dishonored in the past. That he worked different. He rejoiced different. He gave different. He talked different. He related different. And he definitely responded different. Because anybody could seek revenge, it would have been Jesus. Jesus is the one who could have said, I'm done. When he was hanging on the cross and people were spitting on him and making fun of him, he could have said, I'm out. But instead of seeking revenge, instead of calling down fire on everybody, he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. God, give them grace, because grace is good. And Jesus did what was different. And that's what we need to do. Let's be like Jesus. Let's be different by seeking the King and living righteously. I know I've given you a hard challenge today. A hard one. Hard to put into practice. You go through that list, if you took a picture of it or if you wrote it down, you go through that list, I'm like, man, I got a lot to work on. Listen, let me tell you something. You're not going to be able to love different, talk different, honor different. You're not going to be able to do those things without first living as a sacrifice to God and thinking different. If you don't think different and live as a sacrifice to God, you'll never be able to act different. Well, you might be able to for a moment. You might be able to for a minute or a day. But eventually, ourselves are going to get right back in the picture, and we're going to start looking through our own lenses. But if we'll put on a purple lens and we'll say, Jesus, I want to seek you and your kingdom. I want to be a citizen of heaven. And I'm going to live daily towards that. Then I can be different. Then I can act different. So the challenge during this response time is not just to be different. The challenge isn't to go, okay, I'm going to look at how I can honor this person or forgive this person. You need to do that. If the Holy Spirit's putting that on your heart, then definitely do that. But the challenge really during this response time is simply this. Lord, change my thinking and allow me to recognize my life as a everyday living sacrifice to you. And when we start doing that, then we can start saying, Lord, pour me out. And then we can start saying, Lord, make me a vessel of peace. And then we can say, Lord, make me a vessel of love. But it starts by saying, Jesus, I want to pour myself out to you as a living sacrifice. During this time, if you want to sing those words, if you want to make that statement, maybe do it while you're taking communion. It's up on the front of the stage. Maybe you go to the prayer corner and pray a little bit. Maybe you need to take a step of baptism today. Maybe you need to surrender your life to Jesus. Maybe today the thought difference is simply this. Now you say, I'm going to think different. I'm going to recognize Jesus as my King because I've never recognized him as my King before. Let's do what we need to today to pour our lives out on Jesus' feet by being a living sacrifice.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you would like to learn more about how to give to God through The Rock, you can find that information on our app or on our website. Another way that you can give to us is simply by subscribing to this podcast, rating it, telling your friends about it. All those things are super helpful. We hope you have a great week.